Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios at The Decoy, here now are The Killer Bees, Joe Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Oh, hell yeah. You about to get all stung up.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham. It's Joe George behind the glass at Gow. It's Brian McDonald live and in person, the on-site engineer at the Decoy, where the Decoy's got some unbelievable stuff always going on. But how about this Saturday, where you can cheer on the Texans on their giant 24-foot indoor TV, massive 185-inch TV on the patio. If you come wearing your Texans gear, you get $2 Modelo drafts and Mexican candy shots all day. That's all day. Not just when the Texans are playing. That's all day. After the game, stay for UFC 297. What a great sports day, huh? And enjoy $19 Modelo beer towers and $100 Don Julio bottles. And, of course, there is never a cover for UFC and boxing events at the Decoy. Visit the DecoyHTX.com today. Reserve your spot. Great place to watch the Texans. Great place to stay. Watch UFC 297. A great card there. And it's a good spot to have a little bit of Modelo, it sounds like. Texans, Ravens, Saturday. Obviously the theme. We're going to get to a lot of stuff today. It's a Wednesday. Joe makes faces on Wednesday. Why is he making faces today? We're going to take a look at Stroud in bad weather games and Lamar Jackson in bad weather games, kind of see how they stack up, how they compare. Rockets aren't playing very good basketball right now. Is that a trend? Is it a slump? Are we concerned? We'll get into that, all of that. A very busy show for the next few hours right here. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Blakers, I went back and watched the Ravens and the Texans in week one. And just the first question, how much stock can you, should you put in a game that was not only week one of the NFL season, but it was also C.J. Stroud's NFL debut?
Yeah, Jeremy, I was thinking about this the other day when D'Amico said that he went back and looked at that tape, and I was like, man, it seems like it was more than a year ago. And from to answer your question, to me, I don't put a whole lot of stock into it at all because that was CJ basically just coming out of the womb and being as fresh of a baby in this league as you can be. And now it seems like he's got more experience than you could ever imagine, has impressed people more than they ever could have dreamed, and he's a totally different player. And even from a Baltimore standpoint, I mean, their defense was good, but the way that they looked, they didn't look like a great team. They didn't look like the one seed in the AFC, and that game was 7-6 at the half. And when you look at it, you know, a lot of teams, especially with veteran players, they kind of take a pass on the preseason, and it takes them a few weeks of the regular season to get going. So from both sides, I don't put a whole lot of stock into it because the Texans evolved into, I guess both teams really evolved into completely different teams than who they were that week.
Yeah, I mean, that was 4 or 5 months ago. That was so long ago. So I'm on your side of this. I don't think that you can put much stock in it. Now, I think it's good to go back and kind of have an idea of what each team looked like. I think it's fun to see the maturity, especially from a Texans point of view. But you look at some of the things that happened in that game, and I think you can take a little bit out of it. I think now it's not so much specific to the Texans-Ravens. I think this is more specific to defending Lamar Jackson. Like, I think the Texans have to have a really good, not only defensive line game, but I think their defensive tackles need to be really good. Malik Collins, Sheldon Rankins, because you notice whenever, like, Lamar can, you know, break the pocket and run for tons of yards, whether it's designed, whether it's off schedule, whether it's throwing. But whenever he scrambles on a pass play and he gains big chunks of yards, there's one of two ways he's doing it. Either he's escaping the pocket, rolling out and getting away from the defensive line, or he's shooting the B and C gaps because the defensive ends are forcing him into the pocket, step into the pocket, and he can kind of just squirt out, which means you need really good interior defensive line play. Like, I put more weight on Malik Collins and Sheldon Rankins than I do on John Gernard, depending on his health, and Will Anderson. I think that the defensive tackles, if you were to beat the Ravens, have to be phenomenal on Saturday.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you, Jeremy, but I think it's going to be like in unison, right? I think that I don't care as much about how many sacks they get on Lamar as much as I care about them being able to contain just the things you were talking about. The fact that you're going to have both ends hold the edge. You're going to have the defensive line kind of clog the gaps and try to get early penetration so that he doesn't have as many holes to squirt through and opportunities to get chunk yards. And I think that's almost more important than getting sacks. You can get pressures, but I think that, you know, that more important than just about any quarterback in this league. You've got to be able to stay in your lanes. You can't overrun plays on the edge and allow him to kind of have escapability going around you to get back to the edge. So I think that's a big deal right now, more so than just the sacks on him. And I think to your point, that, you know, when watching that game, what you can really take away from it's just tendencies of maybe a new offensive coordinator early in the year that maybe still show their head. You know, maybe it shows that that's kind of the way that they want to do things. You can look at that from a coaching staff perspective. I think more tape that's valuable to the Texans are going to be taking a look at some of the games where the Ravens might have struggled, trying to see what defenses worked against Lamar and against the team as a whole offensively or defensively, what they were schematically trying to do. Just to try and, you know, capitalize on those things in terms of preparing for this week.
Like, pressures matter a lot, but do they matter the least with Lamar Jackson? Because, like, pressuring him can lead to bad things for your defense. Like, pressuring him can lead, oh, I'm going to roll out and just going to sprint by you, juke your linebacker, and all of a sudden I'm in the third level for a 35-yard gain. So, like, pressures matter. I'd rather have a pressure than not have a pressure, but I don't think there's a quarterback in the NFL where pressures matter less than Lamar Jackson.
That's right, because of his escapability, because he can be Houdini in so many ways. It's like we were talking about with Mahomes. We were trying to figure out who they might play. Mahomes essentially is going to just try and get off script. He goes off script first, and then he kind of still assesses, and then most of the time he's squirting forward, stepping up in the pocket, and then trying to get out. Whereas Lamar can beat you inside the pocket, outside the pocket, in such a variety of ways. And a lot of times when you do get pressure on him, that's when those gaps expose themselves even more and those opportunities light up for him, and then he's in attack mode with his legs.
Yeah, 713-780-ESPN. Do you put any stock in that week one game? Now, going back in, like, that's one of the observations to me. A lot of it was more personnel, because I'm with you. I don't think you can take a whole lot of X's and O's from that week one. And the Texans were playing some 4-3. When they were going nickel, they had Tavier Thomas because they had just cut Desmond King. Jimmy Ward did not play in that game. In fact, a couple trivia questions for you guys. Who started next to Jalen Petrie at safety in that game, if you can remember? It blew my mind.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I mean, it was Eric Murray. Eric Murray was the starting safety in that game alongside Jalen Petrie. Mark Andrews did not play in that game, period. He didn't play. Yeah. Didn't play in that game. Watching that game made me miss Tank Dell a lot. It made me kind of sad. Brought a little bit of a tear to my eye. Here's another trivia question for you from that game. Do you remember who C.J. Stroud's first completion was to? His first completion in his NFL career, do you remember who he completed it to?
Himself.
That's right. He completed it to himself. Isn't that funny?
That is unbelievable. And credit to Brian McDonald, because he shouted that out immediately. He remembered it vividly. So give BMAC credit on that one.
Congratulations, Brian McDonald. Here's another one for you. Because, like, remember early in the year, the first few weeks of the season, the running game was atrocious. You couldn't get anything going on the running game, and Pierce was struggling, and, you know, you still didn't really know what you had so much in Singletary, and it took them a while to flip it. It took them a while to flip Singletary to Pierce. In fact, it might have even taken the ankle injury before Singletary really took the reins of being the number one running back, and then he never looked back. In fact, that's exactly what it was. But going back and looking at that game, just guess how many carries Pierce had in Singletary had.
Oh, boy. I would say at that point they were still hell-bent and force-feeding Pierce in the running game. I would say he had...
Keep in mind this game was kind of like out of hand in the second half, so the Texans threw the ball 44 times in that game.
Yeah.
Stroud threw it 44 times in that game.
I'm going to say 18-4.
kind of close. Pierce had 11 and Singletary had 7. It was actually close to 50-50, but that's because he kind of got out of hand in the second half. Now, Pierce actually had a better game than Singletary in that game. Pierce had 38 yards on 11 carries. Singletary had 15 yards on 7 carries. I think I got one more for you. Yeah. Who was the Texans punter? Because it cracked me up whenever I saw this.
Who was the punter?
So who was the punter? No, he's actually in the NFL. In fact, the Texans saw him the other day.
God, I don't know.
I don't even think Brian McDonald knows this one. Brian McDonald.
They let anger go, right, in the offseason, and then he went
to
Dallas.
Anger was, I think, actually last year.
Right. He was last year.
It was
God, I have no idea.
You might not even remember the name. Like, I don't know if many would remember the name of Ty Zentner.
Wow.
Remember,
I could ask you who he's punting for now because I wouldn't even still be able
Tennessee.
To answer that.
He's with Tennessee.
Okay.
He's with Tennessee.
Amy the Skunk got another ex-Texan. There you go.
Which is not surprising at all. She gets a bunch of ex-Texans. So it's funny how you look at the Titans lineage and a bunch of their the players that they have, and they came from that. They came from there. But to me, defensively, just going back and watching this one, that's what you're going to have to do. Your defensive line's going to have to be really good. I would put emphasis on the defensive tackles even more so than the defensive ends, but you're right. They have to be very good as well. Andrews, questionable. Like they say, they had a really good day. I kind of get the feel that he's going to play but be on a pitch count. Like, I think they were going to try to give him, like, 10 plays. That's kind of my hunch on where I'm at with if they play Mark Andrews or not, because I think that they need to. I think that they need to see what they have with his ankle injury. Now, you don't want to overdo it, and the Ravens have aspirations of winning a Super Bowl, but I think you need to start figuring out now how much he can take. So I think he'll be activated, and I think that he'll play. I just think it's going to be limited. It's kind of my guess on Andrews, but you didn't play Mark Andrews in week one, so you really have no idea there. And then the running game for the Ravens was a lot different than two. They still had J.K. Dobbins. In fact, I think J.K. Dobbins got hurt in that game.
I think you're right. I think, he came back and then he got
like
hurt
near the
right
end zone,
then.
Right?
Yep. Because
might have been on the touchdown, actually.
And wasn't there, like, didn't the running backs have 3 touchdowns in that game?
Yeah, Justice Hill had 2.
Oh,
Justice
right,
Hill
yeah.
had 8 carries, 9 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
Oof.
He averaged a yard point.
Sounds like a goal line back.
Yeah, sounds like, I mean, and you wouldn't think that from Justice Hill. You would think that with Gus Edwards. So two very different teams. The Texans actually, like, they have their 2 leading catchers in that game. Like, Nico Collins caught 6 passes. You have him. Robert Woods caught 6 passes. You have him. And then Baltimore, all top of their 3 guys, Zay Flowers, Odell Beckham, Rashad Bateman, they have them. So the receiving game about the same, running game completely different for both teams, and the personnel both sides is pretty hilarious. All right, very busy show for you today. Joe makes faces on Wednesdays. Why are the Rockets struggling? Astros, they're looking for relief pitching, but is the price too high for the Astros? And also this gauntlet the Texans have been on, incredibly valuable for the long term. When we come back, we took a lot of heat, Blankers, for saying embrace the suck. Well, that's the reason they're winning. Chalk another one up to tanking. 713-780-ESPN. We're on the Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. He's at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. Joe's at Joe George Radio. I'm at Jeremy Branham. 713-780-3776. Texans tanking for the win. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN975 and ESPN92.5.
At Grainger, we're for the ones who specialize in saving the day and for the ones who've mastered the art of keeping business moving. We offer industrial-grade supplies for every industry, with same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders, all backed by real people ready to help, so you can get the right answers and products right when you need them. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Back to the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, live at the Decoy, and your favorite drive time sports talk, the Killer Bees. Here they are, Joel and Jeremy.
Ravens just waived Melvin Gordon.
Would
have been a big deal if it was 8 years ago.
Last time
Melvin Gordon was good.
Or if he was back in Wisconsin, where he was very good.
I didn't even know he played at Wisconsin.
Yep.
There you go. Anytime I need to know a little bit Wisconsin Badger stuff, you're my go-to.
I'm here. He's like Blank. You and the Cougs.
That's right. Exactly. Which, We're broadcasting at the Decoy. Blankers is out there this Saturday at the Decoy. We swing on by, cheer on the Texans on our giant 24-foot indoor TV, massive 185-inch TV on the patio. If you wear your Texans gear all day, not just during the game, all day, you get $2 Modelo drafts, Mexican candy shots, and then after the game, stay for the UFC 297 card, enjoy $19 Modelo beer towers, that's cheap, and $100 Don Julio bottles. Never a cover for UFC and boxing at the Decoy. Visit the Decoy HTX.com today to reserve your spot. Make sure you're locked and loaded for the Texans and UFC 297. So, D'Amico Ryans was talking yesterday, you know, much about the success of the Houston Texans and why they've been good. Here was D'Amico Ryans' answer to why you've won the AFC South this year.
Embrace the sucking.
There you go. D'Amico Ryans, straight from the head coach's mouth, first-year head coach for the Texans, who has won the division 10-7, AFC South. They've won a wild card game. You know that the Texans are tied for the furthest they've ever been in franchise history. And why did you do that again, D'Amico? Why did all of this stuff happen?
Embrace the sucking.
There you go. There you go. Blankers, you coined the phrase. It's a great phrase because I think that both you and I believe in tanking. Like, if you're not going to be a playoff team, it's better to win two games than it is to win eight games and miss the playoffs by two. I know Battery Chuck on the Twitch. I know that there was a bunch of people on the Twitch. Oh, you guys are idiots. You don't want that. You want to win six games, and then you want to win eight games, and then you want to win 10 games. No, absolutely not. And you know why Embrace the Suck was big, and D'Amico Ryans agrees with us? You had the number two pick, and what did you do with the number two pick? You drafted the best rookie quarterback who looks like he's going to be a franchise guy for at least a decade and is being like, you know, everybody's talking about how he's the guy of the future. He's the top tier. He's one of the best quarterbacks of the NFL. And how? Because they embraced the suck.
Embraced the suck.
Thank you, D'Amico.
That's music to my ears simply because of the fact that you love it when a plan comes together and it worked. Right? And everybody said, well, it could have worked better. Well, no, it actually worked out just fine because, like you said, you got your franchise quarterback. You got a lot of key players that, you know, stepped right in and are helping you over and over again. And even if you didn't use all the picks, you had the opportunity to use some of those picks to do the kind of things that you did with trades and acquisitions as well. But, I mean, look, we didn't want it. We didn't like the fact that it was going to happen, but we wanted it to happen because, like you said, we've talked about this over and over. In professional sports, it's either good to be really, really good or really, really bad. But the mediocre teams that hover around 500 or just squeak into the playoffs or just miss the playoffs, they sit there in futility a lot longer and struggle a lot more. And this was a pretty clear-cut solution to what was a massive problem for this team, this organization, and this city.
I think two of the three teams in this city, and maybe a third coming soon, have directly benefited off of embracing the suck. The Astros' golden era was built off of embracing the suck for a long period of time. The Rockets have a chance to get there because they embrace the suck. Now they kind of need Jalen Green to be good, so they kind of have a ways to go. But the Texans are absolutely there. And you mentioned like professional sports, and yes, it's big in all professional sports. I would even say that it's magnified more in the NFL. I would throw NBA there too, because I think the best player in a basketball team is just as important as a good quarterback on a football team. I think they're parallel. I think they're evens. Like, I'm not sure which one's more important. The best player on a basketball team versus the quarterback on a football team, I think they're even. But I think that you can magnify the Texans embracing the suck because it positions you to take a quarterback. NFL teams consistently, now more so than ever, reach on quarterbacks because teams are always desperately eager to chase after a quarterback. And I get it. Like, if you don't have a good quarterback, you don't really feel like you have a chance to win at all. So when you position yourself with a top, in this case, two pick, you're positioning yourself at a shot to go after a quarterback that could be great. It could also suck. It could also be terrible. You could have gotten Bryce Young. So you do need good fortune here. It's not all embrace the suck, but it increases your probability. It increases your probability to take a top two quarterback, and then maybe everything falls into place and you have a CJ Stroud. So it's embrace the suck, and then you got a little bit lucky that you didn't have the first pick and you had to go with Bryce Young.
And not to say that we don't know, Bryce Young could still turn out to be a good quarterback, but obviously what you've seen from the jump, even starting off with the Baltimore game, but just what we've seen since, has led you to believe that, you know, you won the lottery. You got the best quarterback and the best player in the draft, and you are going to ride the riches of that for years and years to come. But when you look at it, and we talk about, you know, just the overall philosophy and embracing the suck, you look at the fact that even with the best laid plan, sometimes it doesn't work out. But the fact that they were willing to take in a new general manager and structure it in such a way that whether they were going to tell you outwardly or not, they weren't chasing championships, right? We talked about bridging that gap and getting coaches that do that and some of the fighting Rex Burkheads and the players that do that. And then having it on tiers and levels so at a certain point you were ready to take that next step up. And to the point you were making, I think it's great to have a really, you know, to, both in basketball and football, to have a quarterback and a really great basketball player. But we've seen that the majority of the teams in the league now, in the NBA, it's 2 and 3 great players that end up, or really, really above average players that make a great team. The quarterback's the most important position in all of professional sports and team sports. And the fact that you got him, and we've talked about, you know, other teams and other franchises that have struggled year after year going through 10, 15 quarterbacks before finding that guy or getting that guy again, it can be just so devastating. So, you know what, it was a situation where it was the best laid plan, and it worked out better than we ever could have imagined because of the fact that, you know, you got C.J. Stroud to start the entire process with.
That's why Casario should have just day one, yeah, we're rebuilding. Because everybody like, look, this was the plan. This was the foresight. This was all what he was telling us. But instead he's like, oh, no, we're trying to win, blah, blah, blah. No, you weren't.
Remember we said that about both Rafael Stone and Nick. Just come right out and admit it, because we're not stupid, and we know we're not mad because of the fact that you're doing it. We're mad because you're in a situation that you have to. But we said in both cases, just don't try and, you know, tell us the sky's purple. Just call it like it is.
And I think people are okay with that, especially now. I think fans have kind of wisened up to that where rebuilding is fine. Like, it's okay, and especially in this city because you saw the Astros do it. King of Twitch says, I embraced the suck. He's always our biggest fan. Todd says, I'm never an embraced the suck guy, at least not for more than 1 year in football, at least. Now, I do think things change fast in football, and Brendan was the guy who would always talk to us about this, like, during the show, because I think you and I were like, it's going to take time. It's going to take longer than just a year. Brendan's like, no, you can change it in a year if you get the right coach and the right quarterback. Well, Brendan was right, because it did change in a year. So I hear Todd the show on that. Dab says, can I stop embracing? Yeah, you can stop embracing the suck now. Now we're rooting for wins, because we embraced the suck for a period of time until it was necessary, and now that you have a good team, good quarterback, you can stop embracing.
Now you can start chasing, right? Embracing to chasing. Now you're chasing a chip because that's how good your franchise just got.
We're going to have to change the last word, too, because I don't think anybody wants to chase the suck. So we might have to yeah, you could. You could do that. That's a good point. 8863, he didn't say that to that question. LOL, laughing emoji. Don't let the truth get in the way of a good story, 8863.
Right.
Chill out a little bit. 2013, why do fans care so much when they're not the ones putting in the work on the field anyways? I don't really understand this question. You're smarter than me, Blankers. Do you get this question at all? Why do fans care so much when they're not the ones putting in the work on the field anyway? I don't get that.
Yeah, I think that fans care because that's what builds that lifelong love of a team and an organization and the players that play it. I mean, you're asking, it's like, why do we love French fries or pizza? I mean, you love the fact that there's a connection that you can't get enough of, and so you ride with every move that they make and everything that happens.
Yeah, I don't really get that. 8863, with the one that he said, he didn't say that to that question. I mean, there's a lot of editing people's comments these days. I don't know if you saw that NBC story, but a lot of editing going on with people that are answering certain questions. 1565, does CJ keep other players around because of his character? Players that will play for less to play with CJ. What do you think about that, Blingers?
Look, you and I have had slightly differing opinions, but at the same time kind of on the same page and wavelength of there are going to be players that want to play with C.J. Stroud. There's no doubt about it. There's going to be players that identify just what we said. Quarterback and coach in place with lots of other pieces around. Why wouldn't you want to go and play for that quarterback and play in that organization? The big thing to your point is that, yeah, you want to go play there, but you're still not going to settle for a lot less. If you can get, you're going to chase the bag, and if the bag gives you a decision between Team X or the Texans, you're probably going to lean Texans.
Yeah, it's always case by case. Like, every player is different. Like, you have your guys that chase money, and you have guys that chase titles. I would say that the majority of players that are free agents, if the money's the same, I think that they will look at the Texans a little bit harder. Now, I think where the Texans can really make their hay are with the guys who've already been paid. Like, Jadeveon Clowney, like, you're gonna see him this week with Baltimore. Like, you can get that type of player on a very reasonable deal because you're a contender. And I think that's where Nick Caserio can really, you know, do wonders. Because I don't think they're going to be shopping at the top of the market. But because you're a good football team, now you can fill out your roster on cheap, affordable deals because these players have already gotten paid with really talented football players. And I think that improves your depth a tremendous amount.
Well, and I think you mentioned this previously, but it's also going to be the veteran player that's made big money in his career, but maybe hasn't won a chip, that knows, hey, if I hook my wagon to this franchise for the next couple of years while I still have something left in the tank in my career, I'm going to be chasing success and the possibility to win a ring, and I still got enough of the tank to where I can help this team. That's what you're going to see. You're going to see the guys that maybe not have won a championship before, but have probably collected some good checks in their career, that are going to look to say, hey, where can I go where I can still be a part of and contribute to a team that's got a chance to win it all?
713-780-ESPN. How much do you give the Texans success to embracing the suck? DeMeco gives it a lot. 713-780-3776. So the weather is going to be the weather on Saturday. The weather is the weather. C.J. Stroud in those weather games. Joe did a bit of a deep dive on this. What do the numbers tell you? Big deal, little deal, no deal. 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN
92.5. Back to the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, live at the Decoy, and your favorite drive time sports talk, the Killer Bees. Here they are, Joel and Jeremy.
He's Blank, I'm Bradham. If you're looking for a spot Saturday to watch some Texans football, if you're looking for a spot to watch some USC 297 and not pay a dime, well, the Decoy's the spot. Decoy in Spring Branch here on the Texans, a giant 24-foot indoor TV, massive 185-inch TV on the patio. How cool is that? If you're wearing your Texans gear, you get $2 Modelo drafts. That's a steal. Mexican candy shots all day. After the game, stick around for UFC 297, a really good card, and enjoy $19 Modelo beer towers, $100 Don Julio bottles. If that's your jam, the Decoy, your home for all UFC and boxing events. And always with no cover. Act now, though. Visit thedecoyhtx.com today. Reserve your spot right now. Also, Texans advancing to the divisional round. So this Saturday, ESPN 97.5, the Texans postgame show, special postgame show after the Ravens game. Win or lose, tune into ESPN 97.5, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5 for instant reaction with Michael Connor, Josh Beard, and Paul Gallant. Blankers, did you get asked to host that show?
No, sir.
I didn't either.
Are you available? I mean, your schedule right now is pretty
hectic. I mean, again, don't let the hectic truth get in the way of a good rib here.
You know? No, I know. I honestly didn't know. I was asking.
No, I'm not. I'm not available at all. But I bet you Joe didn't know that. 713-780.
I can look at a U of H basketball
schedule. Didn't ask the Killer Bees, huh? 7169, I can see CJ working his contract like Brady if he has sustained success. I hope so. Like, I can't predict it. I would like for him to. That would be cool. Like, if he's willing to do some favors for the organization by taking less money, hey, tip my cap. I will like you even more than I already like you, and I like you a lot. I have no idea, though. And he's a Mulligetta client, so that kind of would be a counterpoint.
That's almost to the point of saying it's like what Altuve would have to do with Scott Boras, where he says, I know how you normally do things. This is where I want to be, and I'm willing to take a discount to do it. Because Mulligetta is the kind of guy, and just what we saw is they're going to try and set the standard and make sure that they get every penny of what they think their client is worth. I think in terms of CJ, it's fun to think about that or hope for that. He's going to get his initial contract and make sure it is very much worthy of what he deserves. And then maybe later on down the road, as they get multiple players that are impact big-time players on this roster, maybe that's when you would see something like that.
Yeah, there's no way to predict it. You never know which way it's going to go. Some will give you a hometown discount. Some will not. Lance McCullers is a Boris guy. He gave you a hometown discount you thought at the time, and then he hasn't played a whole lot. And now people hate that, so you just never really know how it's going to go. 713-780-3776. Here are the two types of our listeners here. This is a good little sample. 8863, said it before on Twitter. I'll say it again. You guys are the best. The gold standard. Didn't know if I'd enjoy a show as much as Fred and AJ. This one is the one. And then 4106, for some reason I thought Branham was going to be off today. Guess I'll ride home in silence. I prefer the latter. Which one do you prefer, Blankers?
I think you already know. I think you guys already know. I'm all for sunshine and rainbows when it comes to the listeners, and we can just and good dialogue.
I'm glad you said sunshine and rainbows, because it's a great segue to Joe George's deep dive on C.J. Stroud and weather games. I forgot to look up the weather in Baltimore on Saturday. I've been looking at it each and every day just to see what that weather is supposed to get to. So here is the weather on Baltimore. The weather is going to be the weather. But here is the projection right now, according to weather.com. Sorry if that's an old, antiquated, use of figuring out the weather in different cities, but it's what I do. High 27, low of 22. It's now partly cloudy skies, which means the sun might be out for a little bit, and the wind at 18 miles per hour. At least it's not in the 20s. I think 18 is doable. For me, it's like north of 20.
Yeah, I hear you, but even then, close as you get to 18 to 20, you're going to have it. It can impact the ball a little bit, and you just don't want anything hindering. Of the two quarterbacks, I think the better passer is CJ, and you don't want anything to affect that. But other than that, the weather I'm actually ecstatic about, because what you don't want is below 10 and or with the wind chill taking it close to zero, and then you don't want a lot of precipitation and or snow on the ground. So their field already stays pretty good condition and very clear. If you can get some sunshine and you get it in the high 20s, that's best case scenario.
Yeah, that wind, if I'm putting like awful weather number on it, I would say that's like a 5. Like, I don't think the wind is something that I'm keeping my eye on. The temperature, I'm not really worried about.
Yeah, no, I like the fact that the temperature's like that. You got to be concerned. And through experience, I just would say anything like, 15 and under, but especially like 10 and under, that's when you really got to be focused on it. If you're in the 20s, you're in good shape at this time of the year on the East Coast.
Grove on Twitter, I laugh when people say this is not the same Texans team from week one. Hell, it's not the same Ravens team either. Lamar didn't play in the preseason, and that was the first game since his injury in a new offense. Man, I can't wait until Saturday. I agree. Both teams are completely different.
Yeah, I alluded to that, too.
Yeah, I mean, both teams are completely different. Like, the Texans have grown a lot, but so have the Ravens. And the Ravens have grown into what, in my opinion, is the best team in the NFL. So I agree with that. All right, what is this? What does this research of CJ and weather games look like, Joe? Big deal, little deal, no deal. What did you learn when you looked up CJ Stroud and these weather games, I'm assuming in college?
Yeah, these are all college games. Definitely less games than I thought it was going to be. Some, like, weird 67-degree days in Columbus. That second Michigan game in 2022. So I found three games in which CJ played in a game that was 41 degrees or lower. His total stats were 74 completion percentage, 1,067 yards, 9 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. He was 2-1 in these games. The one game he lost was the 2021 game versus Michigan when J.J. McCarthy went off. But, I mean, pretty good.
What did he do in that game?
CJ?
Yeah.
34 for 49, 394 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
Jeez, what was the score of that? Was it a shootout?
I don't remember what the score. That was the one that Michigan won, and they scored a bunch of touchdowns late. So I think they won by like 2 touchdowns. And that one was 28 degrees.
I think CJ said he never beat Michigan in his career.
That's correct. He never beat Michigan.
Yeah, they lost in that game.
Yeah, they lost that game for sure. Sorry, I have a co-host in the studio with me.
Big deal, little deal, no deal. So those numbers are pretty good. I put more weight on that Michigan loss than any others. Like, to put 394 against a Michigan defense with a couple of touchdowns, and it looks like that was the coldest game that Stroud
played
in. Yeah,
it was the coldest by far.
Like, it was the only one sub-freezing.
Yeah, was it 28, you said, Joe?
Yeah, the other ones were 41, looking at your notes here. So,
yeah, they both are 41.
That's kind of like, the numbers are great, but again, it's a totally different ball game, no matter if you're in the Midwest or the East. When you start talking about the fact that you get into January, I think that Big Ten football, to your point the other day, Jeremy, it is the coldest conference of the big conferences in college football. But even still, I mean, as much as people used to always say about, oh, it's tough to play at Wisconsin, no, it's not. Not in September and October and even in November.
Blake, I've got to stop you here. What is the difference between November 28 and January 28?
In Wisconsin?
I'm just saying, what's the difference between 28 degrees in November and 28 degrees in January?
No, I'm saying traditionally you're going to stay right around upper 20s and above freezing in a lot of cases,
right, but
through November,
20,
December.
No matter right, what day of the calendar it is.
First of all, in January, you don't get to 20 very often. In January, late January in the Midwest, it starts. You get a ton more precipitation, and you get a ton more of not only of the temperatures dropping below
I mean,
below
you're talking
zero.
About the prevailing weather. Like I hear what you're saying. You're talking about the prevailing weather, like what's like the normal conditions in the months of those states. And you're right. Mm-hmm. Like January is a colder month than those. But right. If it's 25 degrees, it's 25 degrees.
No, I'm saying in terms of this week, it's great because it's really tough. It's tough to say that anything that he played in the Big Ten and experience is going to prepare him for the NFL. But the good news is he's probably not going to have to prepare for what we thought was going to be worst-case scenario when we started talking about this, which was under 10 degrees and possible wind and precipitation, because that's a whole different ballgame.
The KC weather this past week, the Buffalo weather this past week. And you're right, like Stroud's a better thrower. So I think that the wind and the nasty weather impacts the passing offense. I mean, the Ravens will throw the ball, but Stroud's a better thrower than Lamar. Joe had in his notes here, too, Stroud was asked if he could, like, which two things he would change in the NFL. He said, I would say that everybody has to have a dome if you're in a cold area, and two more cool uniforms. I don't think that uniforms are meant to be so generic. Tradition is fine, but I think that would make the game more fun. He said, every cold game in a dome, but it's okay. You get used to it. Actually, I love playing in the cold, but it's love-hate. So, I don't really know what to make of that quote.
I don't either.
He sounds like he's sitting on the fence.
It was all these Michigan blogs were tweeting about how CJ was soft because of that game in 2021, which CJ said all of his teammates had the flu and it was cold in that game. So they were just trashing him for his quote. So I was like, that seems kind of relevant to the conversation.
These numbers are good in the cold. Now, Stroud had good numbers in every game. So is that a big deal? Is it a little deal? Is it no deal?
I think it's I don't know that it's any deal. I think it's no deal. I think that, you know, the quote tells me, obviously, if he had his preference, he doesn't want to play in cold weather. But who does, right? I mean, there are some people that, I guess, are born and raised in it and love it and just can't get enough of it and think that they have this huge advantage. I'm here to tell you, from a Packer fan that has seen home playoff games where I used to think, hey, we want them at our place in January and we're going to have a huge advantage. And then I saw two losses in two straight years going, yeah, no. I mean, it's the talent in your locker room and the amount of thorough talent you have on your roster, regardless. Yeah, it can have an impact for sure. But, I mean, the bigger thing that I've been accustomed to seeing is you can play him, you know, in a dome. You can play him in bad weather, but talent's going to rise to the top. And I think CJ's
unless
got enough
Tua.
Talent.
Unless you're Tua, in which case anything below 50, you're lousy at playing
it's
the
true.
Quarterback position. I think it's a little deal. I don't put much stock in the Michigan State game at 41 degrees. I don't put much stock at the Maryland. In fact, I don't put any stock in either one of those. I'll put some stock in 28 degrees against your arch rival in a game that you lost, but you were still 34 for 49, 349 and two touchdowns. I'll put stock in that, but it's only one game. So I'll give it the little deal. Big deal, little deal, no deal to you, 713-780-3776. I took a look at Lamar Jackson in weather games. Is that a big deal, little deal, no deal? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Back to the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, live at the Decoy, and your favorite drive time sports talk, the Killer Bees. Here they are, Joel and Jeremy.
I guess that depends on who you ask. 9647, winners win, weather don't matter. 60-30, guys, CJ played at Ohio. You think he hasn't played cold weather. I think the weather narrative is dumb. Well, Joe just gave you the games he's played at the 41 and below. See, I believe that a lot of times, well, that guy plays in Ohio. That guy plays in Minnesota. That guy plays in Detroit, even though they have a dome and they're used to cold weather. Did you see that question of Todd Bowles, by the way? Somebody asked, have you prepared your team, trained your team for the cold weather? Detroit's forecasted for, like, these sub-freezing temperatures, and Bowles is like, well, They have a dome.
that was definitely a stringer or some news department just sent random.
You're probably right. It's probably like a local newscaster that has never paid attention to sports in their lives. Yep. But here's the counterpoint on Lamar. Lamar Jackson has played the weather degree that I used here, or the temperature that I used here, was 40 or below. So a lot of these games are like 38. Like, is that significant? Like, depends on who you ask, I guess. Lamar's played 11 games in his career at 40 and below, 9 of which came in the regular season. The first one was December of 2018, which was 27 degrees, which, I mean, that's pretty significant. They lost at Arrowhead that day, 27-24. He was 13 of 24, 147 yards, 2 touchdowns, ran it 14 times for 67 yards. Second time, December 1st, 2019, they won the game 20-17, 40-degree day. Lamar was 14 for 23, 105, a touchdown, but he ran for 101 yards on 16 carries. The next one was the very next week. They beat the Jets 42-21, this regular season game. It was 33 degrees, so just above freezing. He was 15 for 23, 222 yards, but he threw for 5 touchdowns in that game. 86 yards on 8 carries as well. Yeah, I mean, he went. It's weird because he threw 5 touchdowns, but like the passing game wasn't that nuts. Like, he's just super effective whenever they were in the red zone. December 8, 2020, Baltimore home for Dallas. They smoked them 34-17. It was 38 degrees. Lamar was 12 of 17, 107 yards, 2 touchdowns, a pick, but ran for 94 yards and a touchdown. December 14, 2020. Ravens won a shootout over Cleveland, 47-42. It was 34 degrees. Lamar was 11 of 17, 163 yards, but ran for 124 yards and 2 touchdowns. December 20, 2020, Baltimore beat they hammered Jacksonville in the regular season. It was a 1-13 Jacksonville team, 40-14, 39 degrees. Lamar in that game was 17 of 22, 243, 3 touchdowns. Probably his best passing game in the cold. Then December 27, 2020, against the Giants, 27-13 in 38-degree temperature. Lamar, 17 of 26, 183 yards, 2 touchdowns, but ran for 80 yards, 13 carries. January 3rd, 2021, regular season game, smoked the Bengals, 38-3, 39 degrees outside. Lamar, 10 of 18, 113 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 pick. 97 yards, 11 carries. Hang with me. I'm almost done here. November 20th, 2022, Baltimore beat Carolina 13-3, 36 degrees. Lamar in that game, 24 for 33, 209 yards, an interception, ran for 31 yards and a touchdown. Here are the two playoff games where he's played in sub-40 temperature. January 10th, 2021, they beat the Titans in Tennessee 20-13 when it was 33 degrees outside. Lamar was 17-24, 179 yards and a pick, but ran for 136 yards, 16 carries. And the final one, playoff game, was January 16th, 21. Ravens lost to the Bills in Buffalo, 17-3. It was 34 degrees, and Lamar in that game, 14 for 24, 162 yards, ran for 34 yards, 9 carries. What I've noticed here is that Lamar doesn't have really good throwing days when it's cold, but he runs it at a really high level.
That's the first thing I was going to say was, well, I understand that his completion percentage hasn't ever been great, and he has a tendency to maybe throw one or two to the other team. And then on the flip side, he finds a way to run, and I know that that was at a time when Greg Roman was running the offense, and they were more kind of centered on him getting a lot of yards with his legs. But at the same time, I mean, what's everybody's solution to beating bad weather when it's bad and there's you have to run the football, and he's fully capable of that, so... I mean, that's the biggest takeaways for me.
Yeah, I think that you try to force him to throw the football. Like, if the weather matters at all when it comes to Lamar and those tendencies of Lamar playing in sub-40 degree temperature days, like even the 5 touchdown game, he was what, 13 for 21? Like, he didn't throw for tons of yards. He was just super good in the red zone. I'd like to go back and look that game and see how those touchdowns came, because I feel like they were probably like on the goal line, you know, like second and goal from the 3, little rollouts and stuff like that. But if I learned the big deal, little deal, no deal, I would say it's a little deal. But I do notice that trend. That's the thing that sticks out to me. I think Lamar overall played pretty good in those games, like not that far off from like his career norm. I don't think that he was impaired really by any of those. But I think that there is more of an emphasis, and it might be different this year because they're a different offense, but I think that there was an emphasis more on, hey, Lamar, take off and stop throwing the football as much.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think, you know, whether it was a big deal or a little deal, it was a telling deal in the fact that, at least previously, that he knew that this was a game that he could basically take advantage of by using his legs because of the fact that, you know, he's got a special talent that not many, if anybody, has. And that's what you got to look at. You got to look at it from a defensive perspective of, hey, if we force him to throw the football, he might throw it to us, but he doesn't throw it at a very high completion percentage. And then we've got to basically stay in our lanes, hold the edges, and really make sure that we're hyper aware at all times of the fact that pretty much any opportunity he gets, he's going to run.
That's where I'm at. To me, they need to force him to beat him through the air. Like, if you lose to Lamar Jackson because he throws for 300 yards, I can live with that more than if he ran for 150.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, look, I know that they've made a conscious effort to give him more weapons and change the way they play. But you know what? You really can't change his stripes completely. And you know that if he's one of the best, if not the best running quarterback in the league that we've seen in quite some time, this is the time you put it all on display. You don't care what the narrative is. You don't care if the offense or the organization said, we need to throw the ball more. You want to win a football game. And if he wants, especially because he's trying to change a narrative too, if he can win a football game by using his legs and just getting out and running like he hasn't done all season, he's going to do that.
Adam Schefter just reported that Mark Andrews is a full participant at practice today. So it looked like he's trending to play Saturday, which would be massive for Baltimore because you get a really good target, depending on, you know, his efficiency. Is he 100%, 90%, whatever, and then how much he plays. But if I'm Baltimore, I'd rather have him on the field than not have him on the field. So it looks like he's trending to play. They would have to open up a roster spot for him, which no big deal. Like, okay, you get rid of guy 53 that wasn't going to play anyways. Should I be concerned about a couple of guys on the Texans injury report that were limited in practice yesterday and did not practice today? Will Anderson limited yesterday, did not practice today. John Gernard limited yesterday, did not practice today.
No, not at all. I think
shouldn't
that,
be that they were no, limited
I don't,
yesterday.
I think that more than anything else is we knew already that both of those guys have been dinged up. And in the case of Gernard, you and I talked about, look, he didn't have to do too much, but he also came off the field at one point in the game spiking his helmet down in frustration, like maybe he had tweaked something or re-aggravated mm-hmm. something. So in a game that's coming up that's as big as this one, I'm not really concerned because they were full participants last week. You know, the fact that as long as they're ready on Saturday, they're going to be fine, and I don't think that it's in anybody's best interest to make sure that these guys practice during the week. They're going to get every bit of medical attention that they can possibly get 24 hours a day to make sure that they are as close to a full go on Saturday as they are. And I think that they're going to I'm surprised they didn't do it more, but I think that those are two guys in particular that you have to be hyper careful with.
Just kind of feels like a reversal. Like if you were limited yesterday, but then why aren't you limited today? Why are you DNP today, but you were limited yesterday? I hope that you're right. I'm not as concerned with Anderson because he's played and he's finished games. Gernard, I'm more concerned with Gernard than Anderson because he didn't come back into the game. You know, like it gives me confidence and assurance with Anderson that he played through the finish and didn't re-aggravate anything. Whereas Gernard, he left the game. He left the game, and you mentioned like he was visibly upset. And I know that the score was the score, and you weren't going to put him back in. But for my peace of mind, I don't know his status because the last time we saw him, he was leaving the game because of an ankle injury, whereas Will Anderson finished. So that's why I'm more concerned about Gernard than Anderson.
I think the other thing, too, Jeremy, in regards to that, though, is where were you in the football game when, you know, you always talk about and point out
sure.
astutely about the fact that if you're in control of a football game, whether you're up big or down big, don't put your key players out there, especially guys that are fighting through injuries. And so if he did re-injure something or not, but if you were in a position in the game to sit him, sit him. Don't care if you finish the game
sure.
or not. Yeah.
But it doesn't alleviate your peace of mind of is he available on Saturday? Because you're clueless. Like, you're guessing. You don't know the severity of the injury. Where if he came back in the game, not that he should have, but let's say right. it was a tight game and he came back in. Well, he came back in. He must have been okay. But because he didn't come back in, we really have no idea. I just pulled up last week's injury report to see if there was, like, if there was some things that correlated, like the, mm-hmm. just mentioned Anderson and Gernard. They were limited yesterday and then did not practice today. The only person that happened with last week was Andrew Beck. He was limited Tuesday, did not practice on Wednesday. But Anderson and Gernard both did not practice Tuesday and Wednesday. So it doesn't seem like today would be a normal practice day for them anyways. So that makes me feel a little bit better.
Yeah,
tomorrow
I think
looks
a lot
like
of,
was the big day, though.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. As you get closer to game day and you start, instead of just kind of walking through game plan and scout team and doing all those things to show tendencies, when you really start getting down to more of like full speed, this is what we're going to do kind of things, you'd like them to practice. But I know just from my experiences in the league, in basketball, especially in a playoff series, the gamesmanship has also done it from that regard, that you're going to sit guys, you're going to give the other team the perception that either there's a chance they are going to play or not going to play, whatever. But, you know, you really are not going to do anything to jeopardize those guys during the week. So this isn't like midseason, and you know this. I mean, we're not looking for guys to get good practice in there and make sure they keep their wind up and do these things. You just need these guys who are fighting through injuries to be as close to recovered as they can be.
Yeah, it looks like tomorrow's the indicator, because last week Anderson was limited, Grenard was limited, Collins was limited, Rankins was limited, Woods was limited, and then they all played. So tomorrow's going to be the day that I'm watching closely. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Would you give Hector Neris, and I've seen some numbers floated around today that we'll talk about, we know the bullpen is in rough shape right now. Would you sign Hector Neris to the Rafael Montero deal? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.